We're not going to like this message this morning, are we? So last week, for those of you that joined us for the first time, we started a series called Code of Conduct, looking at the Ten Commandments. So last week, we looked at the first three, and we talked about how we could put God first in our life. And today, sandwiched in between the love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, putting God first, and when Jesus was asked, and love your neighbor as yourself, sandwiched in between these two, these commandments, the first three and the last five, you have this fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day holy. This is kind of difficult for us in this society for a whole bunch of different reasons. And to be quite honest, this is very difficult even for myself as a workaholic. Because I have lots to do, lots to accomplish, and there never seems to be enough time in a day. There never seems to be enough days in a week to accomplish everything that I want to do. Especially when you're stupid and you buy a 25-acre farm when you're in your 50s. There's lots of grass to cut, trees to trim, things to do, family to look after, places to go, people to see, jobs to do, ministry to be a part of, prayer meetings to go to. Oh my goodness, and somehow we're supposed to rest in all of this. It's not easy. Just so that we're all clear, let's open up if you've got your Bible or follow along. We're going to read Exodus chapter 20. We're going to actually read what it says here. And we're going to read from just the verse 8 and following where it says this. Keep the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, let's unpack this a little bit first before we kind of dive into the discussion. First of all, what is this day that God is talking about? Well, if you're Jewish and you live in the Middle East, or if you've been brought up studying the Torah, the seventh day, the Sabbath, is actually Saturday. So if you go to a religious area in New York or maybe even in Toronto and Bathurst Street, don't know where it is in Vancouver if there's one, or if you go to Israel and Jerusalem in certain parts, everything shuts down on the Sabbath. It shuts down actually on Friday night because according to Jewish tradition, the day begins and that sunset and that evening and goes to the sunset of the next night. So from Friday night on to Saturday night, everything shuts down, everything is closed, and that is the day that the Bible says is the Sabbath, and so therefore that is to be the day. Now, what happened in the Christian calendar was Jesus came along and the church began to grow under the leadership of Paul and some of these other disciples that followed Jesus. And one of the conflicts, one of the struggles in the church was this very issue, was the Sabbath day. Because what typically would happen would be Paul would go to a synagogue in a city like Corinth, for example, where we have the letters of Corinth. And he would start in the synagogue, and the synagogue was a Jewish place, and the synagogue would meet on a Saturday. And he would teach in the synagogue, and people would come to faith. And 9 times out of 10, when he would go to these synagogues, they would eventually run him out of the synagogue as a heretic. And then they would start a church somewhere in a house or in a place, and this church would start, and it would start to meet in place of synagogue often, and they would meet on the Saturday morning. Now, in that culture, in that context, that provided some issues, because if you weren't Jewish, a lot of people worked on the Saturday. In the Roman Empire, at the time of when Paul was teaching and many of the disciples, Sunday was the day that was supposed to be a day off that was dedicated to their pagan gods and all the different festivals and things that they would celebrate. So what happened was eventually the Christians moved that from Saturday to Sunday, A, because of convenience, because a lot of them were working on Saturday, B, to kind of distinguish themselves from the synagogue and the Jewish side of the Christian faith, and also eventually later on under Constantine, it was actually deemed as the official day of the week for the Roman Empire where everybody was to take a break and Sunday became the Sabbath. That's how for Christianity today we've come to the seventh day actually being the Sunday rather than the Saturday. If you go to Israel right now and you live in Israel, Sunday is actually the first day of the week. Everything opens back up on Sunday. Everything's business as usual, with the exception of the banks, because everywhere else is closed on Sunday in the world, so they don't open up on Sunday. But with the exception of the banks, government, everything opens up on the first day of the week in Israel, which is Sunday. So in Christian faith, we took the Sabbath day and we moved it from a Saturday to a Sunday. That's the history, that's the theology behind switching the day. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, it says this: one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his or her own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. And so what happens is it's not about being legalistic and about naming a day, saying this is the day, and doing everything possible and making everybody else follow your view, your opinion of what it's supposed to be. It's more fluid according to Scripture and according to Jesus and according to apostles and according to church history. So that's the day. Well, what's this thing about work? You see, in the Jewish system, they created a whole, because they were so afraid, as we talked about last week, about God's name being so holy and so pure, they wouldn't even mention it. They were so afraid of breaking a law, breaking a commandment. They made all kinds of other commandments about this one commandment, about what you could and couldn't do, how many steps you could walk. Because once you got past step number, whatever it was, according to whichever rabbinical study, once you pass 30 steps, now you're working. You got to move around, so that's understandable. But if you start walking more than 30 steps, then oh boy, now you're working. Now you're in trouble. Now you're breaking the fourth commandment. Now you're going to have to go to temple and repent. Like, it got almost insane and silly. So silly, in fact, that when Jesus was here, listen to this story. You're probably familiar with it. But in Mark chapter 2, verse 23 and following, this is what happens. One Sabbath day, Jesus was going through the grain fields. As his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. It's not like a big deal, does it? The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" What? Well, because according to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, if you are picking something, remember this is an agriculture society, so what a lot of people did was they picked things, that was their work. And so if you pick something on a Saturday, you're working. So these Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, are watching for Jesus to make a mistake, and they see him picking some grain because they're hungry, and they go, "Whoa, you're breaking the law." And Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did?" And David would have been like a hoo-hoo, like he's, you know, for the religious leaders, like, number one next to Moses. "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is unlawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." If you want to look back in the Old Testament, this is not just a little bad thing. This is like a big bad thing. You do not eat food that's been consecrated, basically given and dedicated for the priests. That's like looking for fire, hell, and brimstone to come down and consume you type deal. Like that's not picking grain on a Saturday. This is even the extreme of like totally breaking the law. Jesus says, "Hey, they did it, so what's the problem?" Trying to call them out. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." It gets better. "Another time he went into a synagogue, and there was a man shriveled up whose hand was there." "Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath." Really? "Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is it lawful on Saturday, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?'" Whoa, there's a loaded question. The religious leaders, they don't say anything. "He looked around them in anger and in deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with Herodians how they might kill Jesus." When legalism becomes more important than the idea or the principle behind the law in the first place. So it's not specifically about the day. It's not even specifically about the work. So what is it? What does the Sabbath day look like for you and for me? Because if it's one of the Ten Commandments, then it is a commandment that we need to adhere to. We need to figure out in our own life. And if it's a Ten Commandment, then there's probably a really good reason, if it made the top 10, why God put it in there in the first place. And so the question for you and for me is to really wrestle with this and figure it out in our lives of how are we going to practice this Sabbath day of rest? What does it look like? So here's just a couple ideas, or a couple comments that I read as I read through this passage, even though there's not a lot of details, but as we read through and reflect on what the Sabbath day is. Here's the first thing. It's rest. So it's not the work, whatever you do the rest of the week, it's something different. It's something that we call rest. There's been one day in our society where we did have Sabbath when we were truly rested. And many of you might remember this. Remember September 11th, 2001? You remember what happened once the planes were flown into the towers, Twin Towers in New York? What happened? Everything shut down. It was actually quite phenomenal. Because in the 80s, we still had some places that were closed on Sundays, but there were still convenience stores and gas stores and things that you could find that were open. But generally speaking, our society's been pretty much open all the time. In the 60s and 70s, there were days where it was closed, but it was still far and few between. Some of you might remember those days. But very rarely will you ever find a time where everything shuts down. For those of you that were in Ontario a few number of years ago, there was the great big hydro crash where we lost power for 3 days. That was quite something. Again, everything shut down. And you didn't have a choice. You were forced to go for a walk, hang out, didn't have your gadgets, pick up a book. Whoa, what's that today? Where you were forced to rest, to do something different than what you normally do. One of the cool things about living in the Middle East for a couple of years, both as a kid and also as an adult, was that they have a couple of days where this actually happens. They have what's called Yom Kippur, which is the day of repentance in the fall. And Yom Kippur is great if you're a kid, because in Israel, everything generally shuts down on Saturdays, but there's still the Arab side where they don't shut down on Saturdays. So Israel's funny. If you want to go somewhere on Saturday, you go to the Arab communities because they're all open. And then if you want to go somewhere on Sunday, if you're Jewish, you go to the Arab community. If you're Arab, then it reverses because the Arabs are open on Sunday, or the Arabs are open on Saturday, and the Jewish people are open on Sunday. And so they kind of play back and forth. So even in Israel, you can still find somewhere to go to shop, to hang out, and do something if you want. But Yom Kippur is one of those days where everything shuts down by law. The streets shut down. You're not even allowed to drive. And so what happens is, if you're a kid, you get out your skateboard and your bike. And even though it's supposed to be this solemn day, all the kids are out playing on the streets, driving around, going crazy, taking out your skateboards and having fun. Because everything is shut down. No cars except for ambulances or emergency crews are allowed. So the streets are bare bone. People are all walking and just hanging out and actually having a day of rest. Something that's different from the rest of our life. Sabbath day is a day of rest. But I can't afford to rest. I got too much on my plate. I got too many things to do. I've got two lists that are like this long. And if I take a break, or if I don't open up my store, if I don't do this or I don't do that, then I will fall behind everybody else. How can I rest when the rest of the world doesn't rest? When I'm in a society where we're competing for money and for time and for energy and clientele and people, how can I rest in this impossible climate? It's always been the same. Go back almost 200 years. In May of 1853, Phoebe and her husband, Holden Judson, joined a covered wagon train near Kansas City, hoping to reach the Washington Territory by mid-October. There was a distance of more than 2,600 miles over the rough Oregon Trail. Like all wagon trains, they elected a captain. His word was the law. Whatever he said, went. Well, they chose Reverend Gustus Hines, only to be surprised one Saturday night when he announced that the train would not travel on Sunday. Phoebe was shocked. They had half the continent to cross at oxen pace of 15 or 20 miles a day on a good day, with mountain passes and river crossings ahead of them and all kinds of trouble that could come around the corner. She sat in her wagon and just fumed. One family deserted the train and joined another. 200 years ago. I gotta take a day. I got a place to go. I gotta be in Washington by mid-September. I gotta get there. We gotta go every single day. Just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. That's no different than the way we operate today, is it? It hasn't changed. On their first Sunday, they stood still, one train after another passed them by. Can you imagine? They started out again on Monday, only to reach the first river crossing on Tuesday evening. A long line of wagons stretched out ahead of them, waiting for a single ferry to carry them across. So they had to wait for 3 days. Oh, if we had not taken Sunday off and just got here first, we could have gone across the river first. We would have been ahead of the pack. We would have gotten... Phoebe was livid. This made absolutely no sense to her. And a few weeks later, she began to see scores of dead oxen, mules, and horses along the trail. They'd been driven so relentless that they had collapsed and died. She grudgingly admitted that perhaps the animals needed a day of rest. A few weeks later, she ruefully admitted that maybe the men needed to have a day of rest too, because they walked most of the time while the ladies and the children sat in the carts. Then she slowly began to notice that as they worshipped, ate, rested, and even played together on Sundays, it had a remarkably beneficial effect upon people's spirits. Surprise, surprise. There was less grumbling, more cooperation. She even noticed that they seemed to make better time in the other 6 days. Finally, what totally sold her on the value of the Sabbath happened one Sunday evening. The family that had deserted them came limping up into their campsite, humbling to ask if they could rejoin them. She'd assumed that they were at least 1 week ahead. In fact, they had fallen behind. Their own wagon had broken down, and of course, they welcomed them back. And so it happened that they reached their destination in plenty of time as friends. Out of the 50 head of cattle which they had only begun, only 2 were lost. You see, sometimes we look at our life and we look at society, we go, they didn't have to deal with that in the past. It would have been easy to have a Saturday. You know, if I lived in Israel and everything shut down, that'd be easy to celebrate Sabbath day. It's less about the rules around us and more about our heart and our willingness to take a day and to rest. It's not easy. I find it extremely difficult. But the Sabbath day is a day of rest. The Sabbath day is a day for humanity to connect with God. It's not just a day where you're supposed to do whatever you want, however you want, for whatever you want, and just to rest and go sleep it away. Although I guess there are benefits to that. But scripturally, it's more important than that. It's not just about rest, it's about connecting with God. It's interesting here that God rested on the 7th day. Do you think God needed a rest? No. He's the supreme creator. He just made everything out of nothing in 6 days. He did not need a rest. He did not need a day off. So why did he put it in there? He put it in there, I think, to demonstrate and let you and I know this is important. Because if I'm going to take a day off from my work, and I really don't need to because I'm the almighty supreme being, then you might want to pay attention. And ask, well, why? And the reason is because it's a way for us to not only just rest, but it's a way for us to connect with him. You know, Jesus even did this. Whenever Jesus felt overwhelmed by his disciples or overwhelmed by the crowds, what did Jesus do? He would escape. He would run away. He would even say to his disciples, come away for a while and rest. Come away with me. There's a whole passage in Hebrews chapter 4 which talks about this as well too. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 1 to 10. Let me read it to you. Therefore, since the promise entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have been found short of it. I like the term here. Since the promise of entering his rest. You notice the words here? You're not just resting for the sake of resting. You're entering into his rest. You're entering into his presence in relationship with him. For we have also had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said, so I declared on oath of my anger, they shall never enter my rest. You ever wonder why people's heads are just spinning and the world seems to be just losing control? And yet his work he has finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken that the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all work. And again in the passage he says, they shall never enter my rest. It shall still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached them did not go in because of the disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time ago he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear my voice, do not enter your hearts. And just as Joshua entered into his rest. The Sabbath day is a day of rest, but the Sabbath day is also a time to connect with God. It's not just a time to do our own hobbies, to do our things that we enjoy. I mean, they can work, I guess. But it's a time to connect with him. It's the reason why we come to church. To worship. To enter into his presence. To listen to his voice. To build the body, the bride of Christ, the church of God. Because not only is it rest, but it's a way to connect with him. And lastly, and this is pretty important, is it something that sets us apart? What do you do on Sundays? Well, I go to church. Hmm? Now, 20 years ago, that, you know, when 30, 40% of people went to church, that was a given, or it was just, yeah, okay, that's not a big deal. But nowadays, when you say I go to church on a Sunday, that can be quite a big deal depending on who you're talking to and depending on their worldview and how they see the church and what their understanding of it is. But one of the ideas of going to church, one of the ideas of the Sabbath day of rest is to be different. Well, I don't shop or I don't do work on Sundays or I do something different. I spend time with God. I go to church. These things are also about being an example to the world around us. So they might just go, well, why do you do that? What a great opportunity to share faith, to tell other people about Jesus Christ and the relationship that I have with him and the time that I spend with him and how I enjoy spending time in his presence, to tell them about church and why I go to church and why I worship him, why I take, you know, such valuable time out of my life to be in community and to worship him and to be into God's presence. When you're in the Middle East or if you're in New York or if you're in Toronto in the different Jewish areas, you know on a Saturday you're in something different. And it's not just because the stores are closed. I mean, that's one of the key indicators. But it's just that something is different. There's synagogue going on. There's people dressed up to the benines and all kinds of other crazy stuff going on. They're different. And people notice. You cannot help but notice. And so one of the things about celebrating Sabbath, one of the things that come with the Sabbath day is not just resting, not just connecting with God, but being an example in the world around us that we are people of faith, that we are different. For Jewish people, this is their calling in the Old Testament. God said, I'm going to take you out of all the nations and you're going to be my people and you're going to be a light unto the Gentiles. And the idea for the Jewish people was they were supposed to live and follow God so that people would see what it looks like to be a people of God who lived holy lives. Now they failed miserably over and over again, just like you and I. But that was their purpose. And so part of celebrating the Sabbath in Jewish tradition was also so that everybody else around them would know that this country is different, that these people are different, because all the other countries, they did business on Sundays and on Saturdays. They would come to your city gates and bang on the doors and say, we want to sell you stuff or we want to buy stuff. And if you were a person practicing Jewish faith and Jewish law, your gates were closed and you didn't do business. And the merchants would know, hey, something's different about these people. And they would either have to come back on Sunday or just hang out by the gate until they were ready to open up. We're called to be different, particularly in a world that's becoming everly increasingly hostile towards the gospel and towards the things that God say are important. I don't know if you ever heard of the store B&H Photo. I was a wedding photographer when I was in seminary and before that. And so this was the day when you had old analog cameras and Mamiya big 2.25 things, and so it was a little bit more difficult. We didn't have internet, we didn't have online stuff. There were only certain camera stores that you could buy your cameras from, and particularly if you were doing professional stuff. And so one of the big photo stores is called B&H Photo in New York. Large photo chain store all across North America, United States. Their head office and their head store is a little little store in New York. But they were run by Jewish people. And just imagine New York, hustle and bustle. Everything's open all week long. But they would not open on Saturdays. And they kept their store closed. Not only that, but when they first launched their website, now if you go look up BH Photo Now, now you can buy on Saturdays. But even when they first launched their website, they wouldn't let anybody purchase anything online on a Saturday to be different. Because that's what they believe. So the Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a day for you and I to connect with God. And it's a day to make us different. So what do you do with that this week in your life? Here's a couple of questions to ask yourself. Are you resting? Now for some people, that comes really easy. Yeah, I rest lots. For others, if you're a little bit more wired the way I am, it doesn't come very easy. And so to sit down, play a game, hang out with a family, read the Bible, it's not always an easy thing to do. Are you resting? Are you having a date with God every week? I love that question. Church is part of it. Glad you're here this morning. What do you do for the rest of the day? You spend some time reading your word when you got up before church or maybe later on today. Go for a walk and listen to God or talk to him. Pour out your heart. We know that in marriage, if you don't take a date, fill in the blank how regularly. But God says here when it comes to the Sabbath that it's supposed to be every week. You know, you grow apart and your lives gets busy and before you know it, you're just living roommates and things fall apart really easy and really quickly. We know how important dates are within marriage. What about a relationship with God? Are you connecting with him? And do people see that your life is different by the way that you celebrate the Sabbath day? Do people realize that you go to church? Do people realize that you spend time not running around and working when maybe you would really like to? Or when the lists are still long? Is your life different from everyone else around us? Because it should be. Because it helps us point others back to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Ten Commandments, as difficult as they are to wrestle with sometimes. But as difficult as they are so practical as well too. We know we need rest. We know we cannot keep up with the pace of society around us. We know that you love us. But sometimes it's so hard to create the space and the time to spend with you that day a week. Sometimes it's very hard and difficult to just get our priorities straight, because really this is what this is about. There's so many other things we would love to be doing or enjoying in our lives that we think are important, but the reality is, just like we talked about last week, you're supposed to be number one, and part of being number one is spending time with you. And so, Father, forgive us for the times where we run around like chickens with heads cut off, trying to get so much accomplished and not taking rest. May we be able to spend time in your presence. May the world see that we are different by the way that we live, by celebrating your Sabbath day. We love you and we praise you, Jesus, and give you this day. Amen.